Please listen now to God as I read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. He was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's July 4th, a day that puts most mainline ministers in a quandary over how to hold the line on church and state, the sacred and the secular. For others, it's no quandary at all, as Independence Day is occasion for singing patriotic songs, saluting the flag, and celebrating America as the greatest country God ever invented, next to Texas. On the flip side, some of my more sectarian friends, especially on the left, will take the occasion to preach overtly unpatriotic sermons with a point of telling everyone just how un-American Jesus really was. I am, for one, inclined to ignore the holiday altogether, stick to the gospel, and let God have the morning and the country the evening. But as American and as Baptist as that distinction might be, it's really a little too neat. For God is the day of both, God is the God of both day and night, and in spite of all efforts to separate and distinguish the two, we are always all citizens of what Luther called the two kingdoms at one and the same time, one heavenly and one earthly, one sacred and one secular, and both belonging to God. So maybe I shouldn't ignore the secular holiday altogether, but use it to consider what it is that we believe about our relationship as Christians to the state in general and to America in particular. probably the first thing to be said is that as Christians, we are not anarchists. From the very beginning, Christianity has recognized civil authority and sought to honor and obey its offices of governance in the world. That is true about Catholics and Lutherans and Episcopalians and Methodists, and it's true about Baptists too. As the 1963 Baptist Faith and Message put it, civil government ordained of God, it is the duty of Christians to render loyal obedience thereto in all things, not contrary to the revealed will of God. As Christians, we believe that the concept of civil governance was established by God. And therefore, we believe that we are obligated to be good citizens of our cities and our states and our countries. Or as the common parlance puts it, we are to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, including, yes, ponying up on those payroll and property taxes that pave our roads and pay our teachers. And as the husband of a former public teacher myself, I can say that while I didn't necessarily like paying the tax man, I did like to eat. So a paycheck was nice. Civil governance was ordained by God for the sake of the common good. So we pay our taxes to the tax man and are loyally obedient to the laws of the land. But loyal obedience does not mean blind obedience. Civil governments do oftentimes do things contrary to God's will. And when they do, there is a long tradition within Christian teaching, not only of civil obedience, but also of civil disobedience. And I can think of no more powerful articulation of this teaching than Dr. King's letter from a Birmingham jail, in which he quotes St. Augustine, who said, "An unjust law is no law at all," and makes a very powerful point and cogent case for resistance against civil authority when civil authority is in the wrong. It is a profoundly prophetic letter and underscores the prophetic role religion must play in civil and especially uncivil society. Which brings me to the text today. What we are given on this July 4th is the prophetic role and ministry of Jesus. For Jesus was more than a prophet, of course, but no less. And in today's text, the prophet Jesus calls upon his disciples to pick up the prophetic mantle along with him in order to set aright what was wrong and call the people and the nation to conscience. That is historically the role of the faithful church in both civil and uncivil society. We are not the master of the state nor its handmaiden. We are its conscience. That is a prophetic role, and I think it's a prophetic and patriotic one as well. And it is our patriotic duty as the church not to simply stand up and salute the flag, but to summon the republic for which its stance to the liberty and justice for all which it espouses. And that means sometimes, oftentimes, daring to tell it the truth in love. William Sloan Coffin once said, "There are three kinds of patriots, two bad and one good. The bad ones are uncritical lovers and loveless critics. True patriots are those who love their country enough to address its flaws." That is a part of the role of the church in the world and a part of the role of the church in America. And in fact, it is in the prayer, which is a part of one of the most patriotic hymns many churches, including our own, will be singing this morning. "America, America, God mend thine every flaw." America is, in my estimation, a beautiful nation, but it is also a flawed nation. And we are in the midst of a very serious national conversation about the nature of those flaws. It is imperative that we have this conversation and not be afraid to learn and to teach the truth about our own country. A boogeyman has been invented called CRT, which is said to be bad for both black and white children's mental health. I don't believe that, however, for a second. All critical race theory really is history, focused through the lens of America's flawed and sometimes even evil laws on race. We shouldn't be afraid to be honest about our history. We shouldn't be afraid to be honest about our past and the way that it affects our present. We shouldn't be afraid of the truth, for it is the truth that has the power to set us free. The text this morning uses the word repent. That word means change. The past and the present can be changed for the sake of a freer and more just and more inclusive future. This is the America that was meant to be. It is the America that is meant to be. It is the revealed will of God. And the prophets summon us to rise up and go. And the good kinds of patriots heed the call. Granted, there is a lot of bad patriotism out there. And on a day like today, you will see a lot of it literally being worn on the sleeve, with many draping themselves in the American flag, sometimes even in camo-colored stars and stripes. And now, it's a law in the Lone Star State that every professional sport has to play the national anthem before kickoff. That is courtesy of the so-called Star Spangled Banner Protection Act. But to me, that's not real patriotism. Real patriotism is not about the protection of a song. It's about protection of people. It's about love and care of neighbors. The defense of civil and human rights. The concern for a community. And the support and protection of our common good. That's what real patriotism is all about. Not songs and shirts. My sermon title this morning is For Patriot Dream. It too comes from a line in America the Beautiful. True patriots dream of a nation not as it is or was or was said to be, but what it can be. They love their country enough to tell the truth about it, work to mend its flaws, and summon it to the better angels of its nature. And in that respect, they are prophets, often without honor in their own country. Would that all of Israel were prophets, Moses once said. And would that all of Americans were prophets also, and patriots too. And would that we would dare to believe and proclaim that though America may still have much need to repent, God in Christ can indeed, even now, mend this country's every flaw and confirm its soul in self-control and its liberty in law. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God and Mother of us all, and all of God's people then said, Amen.